Hear a talk on steps 4 and 5, resentment. Please give a warm round of applause to our speaker, Leslie from Barcelona.
I love that, the warm round of applause. Oh, hi, I'm Leslie, my alcoholic. Sorry, I keep going in and out. You guys hear my dog? My dog is just a little bit hyper right now, so sorry about the distraction that I had pre-meeting. Let me just turn on my timer. Sunny at, thank you so much for inviting me to come out, and thank you guys for having this meeting, and thank everyone for being here, and I'm glad. I'm very, very grateful. It's an honor and privilege to be here. It amazes me. My sobriety date is June 23rd, 1996. I believe it's 10,109 days of sobriety, and I count every single day because every single day is important. Because I can remember saying to my mom after many relapses, I said, "I have 11 days. Wow!" And I was so excited, and she kind of looked at me like, "Again?" So I know how important those day counts are, and they continue to be super important to me, and every day is just a gift. It's a gift. My sponsor is Sharon C from the Pacific Group, and my home group is here in Barcelona in person, and an online Zoom meeting that I started called Not a Glum Lot. Barcelona is also a home, online home group. And so I was asked to speak on step four, and then I saw on the flyer it said five, and I said, "Oh, good, it goes into 5 too," because I loved my experience in step five. But I want to tell you that I had a hard time. I was in and out of Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time. I wasn't one of those people that just came and really, slid right in. And at my first meeting, I went to when I was very young, and it was in Newport Beach. I grew up in Southern California. And I walked in, and everybody looked super, super happy and colorful and cheerful and exciting. And I always like to say it was like this explosion of a sorority fraternity party. And I thought, oh my God, this is not for me. And that continued to be my story. Oh my God, this is not for me, but I wanted it all the same, And my case was different. And I was just a little bit different than all of you. And when I found out from doing that fourth step, I was no different and special. And when I've heard countless, countless four steps, I've learned I am no different and special. It's just a lot of me twos, me too, me too, And when I came in, finally, I had a really hard time. I had a lot of bad things happen, as we all did. And I started real young. But when I finally was, was trying to get sober, I was doing the in and out dance. And it was on June 23rd, 1996, when I got on my knees, and I asked God for help. And I said, "God, help me. I don't know." I heard that God help me prayer somewhere on those Pacific Group tapes that I was listening to from the big Wednesday night meeting over there in Japan. They had them, and I started ordering them. Or maybe it was from the seven people that were in that group, in that group in Japan, who I just like to always mention that we meet every Friday night on Zoom, and it's amazing the people that I've just carried me, in the worst, hardest times of me getting sober, of me losing my mom with 3 months of sobriety, and we meet, we have a meeting, and that's just the beauty of Zoom, isn't it? So I finally got on my knees, and it is a program of action. I believe that was my first action. It was my first real surrender, because I had been in and out, in and out, in and out so many times. And it was just exhausting. They were exhausted. I think I was exhausted. And when I got on my knees, it was a slow motion feeling. Like when I fall, I feel like I fall in slow motion. If you ever trip, you have a slow, everything goes in slow motion. It was like that. And it was the white flag was going up. I didn't even know that, And what had happened all those years of in and out, even when I was drinking, I had a God in my life and I didn't even know that, I grew up Catholic and there's God in church, but my mind was so closed-minded. I didn't realize that God is always everywhere with me. And the grace of God, when I broke my neck in that drunk driving car accident and I shattered my second vertebrae and I had to wear that halo, that God was there, bringing me back from that near-death experience. God was already there. I didn't even realize this. And I discovered this in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I built that relationship with God. And so, in the first step, I knew I was an alcoholic. There was like no big news. It was like, yeah, I am. So, and they say here, okay, and tell me something great. So tell me something else that I don't know. So what? I'm having a good time. Bad things happen, but it will be different next time I drink. I promise you, it won't be as bad, And I didn't know that first drink was where I where or getting all that trouble. And so I guess I was reacquainting myself with this God business when I got on my knees, you know, and I'd surrendered. I knew I was an alcoholic, and so I'm surrendering. I meet this God, and so I call up my sponsor and I told her what happened. I drank again. And she said, "Fine, go to a meeting." And we only had 2 a week. And I went to, it happened to be that night. And I went and I told everybody again. And we started on a rigorous course of action. We met every day and we read the big book together, line for line, word for word, you know. And that's what I do with my sponsees. We read the big book together because for me, the answers are in the big book, you know. And so we read that. We did the steps as they went along. And I somehow became willing to go to any lengths. You know, I became willing to go to any lengths. When she said at one point, she said, I told her I was gonna, you know, I got sober in June and it must have been July. And I said, I'm gonna go see my mom in California for August and July and August. And she said, hold your horses. You know, she was moving back to Texas. She said, what do you think you're doing? No, we haven't finished the steps. You see, that's the most important thing in your life is getting this foundation. I was like, oh, is that right? And so she said, why don't you change your flight to go back after we finish the steps, like in August or something? Because we're meeting every day. We're intensive. Because I had strong cravings, you know. And I did that first real move of willing to go to any lengths. And I changed my flight, you know. I put Alcoholics Anonymous first in my life. I didn't realize that, but I was suddenly making Alcoholics Anonymous and sobriety my priority. Where it is my priority today, it's the sun. I revolve around it. Everything revolves around it. You know, I'm busy in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't get a lot of time, you know, to have, you know, muse sit and think about me all day. I'm too busy, you know. You guys got me real busy, and so you know, we were getting in the steps, and we got to that third step of, you know, are you willing to turn your will and your life over to God? And I just looked at her like, I don't know, I guess so, because you know, I'm newly sober, right? And there's other stuff that goes with it that I'm, you know, not using. And I didn't really know. I'm like, sure, I, you know, whatever you say. And I think that was the right answer for a real newcomer, you know, because I have to remember, as a real newcomer, I didn't really know what God was. It was kind of my sponsor. I was kind of like, you know, you're kind of my higher power, I guess. I don't know. It was a real mysterious whatever. Now I've got more of a feeling as time has gone by. I've developed this relationship. It's become a friend, you know, that's like a talk Bill talks about in his story. And it's a friend I call on all the time, including today, you know, all the time. And even in a challenging way, like, huh, take this one. Let's see what you're going to do with it, big guy. You know, and so I did that. I made that decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, and whatever that meant at that time. But then, as it tells me in the big book, we had to get right to the fourth step, or else that decision would have a little and lasting effect. It says here in the big book, it says, if I can read, it says, though our decision was a vital and crucial step, that means vital, life or death. Crucial means super ultra important. It could have little permanent effect, unless at once means for me now, followed by a strenuous effort to face. So that means I got to, you know, really put it all into it and be rid of the things in ourselves which was blocking us, sorry. Our liquor was but a symptoms. We had to get down to causes and conditions. That's on page 64 of the big book. So she told me, look, that's really great. You took that decision, but it's going to have little lasting effects. And let's now, we're not going to think about it. We're not going to like, when you're ready, when you're in the mood, when you feel motivated. No. Go, she told me, go buy a notebook. She made it practical. I went and got a notebook. She said, go get a pen. I went and got a pen, you know, and what I did with this notebook and pen is I carried it with me because I'm a newcomer and I don't have structure and I don't discipline very well. When somebody says, sit down every day at 2 o'clock, I'm going to go. When 2 o'clock comes, I'm going to feel like mopping the floor or whatever. Anything else is going to look better than that. So she told me, carry it with you. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then she showed me, we went through it together. We went through the step, I mean, excuse me, the big book and how it's laid out. And she had me do the columns, you know. And just so I don't want to get all technical, blah, blah, blah. But I want to tell you, she laid it out so simply that I do the same thing with my newcomer. She says, my sponsees, excuse me. She says, just make a list of all those people that you're mad at. And I'm like, well, God damn it, I certainly, well, I don't know if I'm, I don't know if that's swearing, but anyways, God damn it, I certainly can. And she put institutions, everything. And I wrote everything down there that I was resentful at. And she goes, oh, by the way, don't forget yourself. And I'm like, how'd she know? All right. So I put that down too, right? And she explained to me, like it says in the big book, the reason that, we're starting to do this to get rid of, write down all this stuff is because A, I can't afford to be angry. If I'm angry at whoever it is in the world, Joe, Jane, Jim, that anger is going to become justified and it's going to grow and I'm going to drink. And like it says in the big book, and to drink is to die. I can't have that. That's the dubious luxury. It says in the big book, the dubious luxury of other people. So my neighbor or whoever can go to a bar and be angry at Jim, Joe, or Jane, have a few beers and go, oh, God, I feel better. I'm going home and go to sleep and have a nice night of sleep, But that is not the case for me because I can't have a few beers. I can't have one or two because I don't stop and I have the allergy that's going to demand more and the obsession of my mind is just going to insist. And then those other condiments come in, you know what I mean? So she explained that very clearly to me. And I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. So what you're saying is I can't be angry. She's like, no, but all that other, the anger that I have from the past, all these people, so much in my past, because the resentments, it's blocking me off from God. I'm like, whoa. She goes, didn't we just meet God? We just met God, and when you got on your knees and took that third, you did the third step prayer. Didn't you just say that you're, how can God in, get in there and run my life? I have a new director, I have a new employer, I have a new person, right? A new, boss. How can you, a driver in the car is how I always like to think of it. And they'd say, sit in the back. You're not in the passenger seat because you'll be getting in his business. So go way in the back. So I was in the back of the car, right? Like way back in the four-wheel drive, So anyways, so how can I have him drive the car or row the boat if I am got all this resentment, and all this stuff blocking, blocking him. He can't get in. I don't have the sunlight of the spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to get rid of all of that stuff. We're going to take it out. Like it's this very simple analogy that's in the big, but a little inventory of a store. We're going to go through and take out these this old expired bullshit, right? So she had me do the first calm, and I'd be on the train in Japan. I'd be riding down the first climb. I got that person, blah blah, and then she'd get me to the why, and I'm writing that down. And then sneaking in, whoa, we're looking at me. We're getting to the third and fourth. Whoa, we're getting to my defects. It's about me. And you know what? The fourth step is so hard that they say, and I didn't, get relief or feel better. It's painful. It's hard because you're, I was digging up old memories. I'm not really excited about having to let go of these resentments. I used to, guys, I used to be, we, everyone rode bikes in Japan, And I and in Japan, the Japanese women, I don't know if you, if anyone's ever been there, but they're absolutely beautiful. They're gorgeous, and they dress in clothes that if I wore them, I would look like I was on like Figueroa Street in LA. You know what I mean? I wouldn't. It would give the wrong impression, right? If I wore that, to say it politely. But they don't look that way. They look great. But I was so jealous because I thought they were all after, my boyfriend. I thought they were all gonna, he was gonna go. I had jealousy, and it talks about jealousy in the big book. So I had such a resentment. So I'd ride by and I'd say in Japanese, I'd call them names. They're like, who the what? I'd ride by my bike and I was so angry at them. I'd be like, you beep, you beep, beep. And I would just, can you, they're not very, very, not much elegance and grace in that. And there's not much dignity either. So I was really resentful, like think groups of people and people, so I had to put all this all down. And one thing she had me do too, which was very interesting, she had me write down harms, because it says in the big book, even though we have harms that are have no resentment related. But she also had me write down, to make sure I was really thorough, my shames, like the things I did that I was going to take to the grave, because sometimes there's no resentment related. I, in my mind, it's all justified. And that was the stuff I thought, oh, whoa, this is going to be way, oh, gee, and I wrote that stuff down, all those shames. She also had me write down assets, not to feel so bad after doing all this stuff. Wait a minute, there's a good person in there, and gratitude, a long gratitude. And so I did all of that, and I because I'm meeting her with her every day, there's not a lot of time. I don't know. I just all I can say is I was willing. I had the gift of desperation when I got on my knees, and the willingness that I still have today. I still, for the grace of God, have the gift of desperation and willingness. I'm willing to do anything to be right in the middle of the herd of Alcoholics Anonymous, to have peace and serenity and to feel good, I mean, I just recently had some really, really bad news, and I had said yes to a couple of AA commitments, and thank goodness I did, because you never know what's going to happen. And so I'm in the middle of my bad news, and oh, I got to speak, I got to turn on my computer, and I got some relief. I didn't have to think about it, and I don't know how I'm getting off on that tangent from the fourth step, but what I'm trying to say is, I guess Alcoholics Anonymous gives me a lot of relief. It gives me a lot of relief. I'm so grateful. It gives me, it's like my grand sponsor Clancy would say, AA does for me slowly what drinking did quickly. Does for me slowly what drinking did quickly. I got a few beers and I have some relief, and I'd have that I get that with the steps and Alcoholics Anonymous and being in the middle, And Earl H talks about the buzz of being sober, and I want that buzz like I had, when I was out there. But anyways, back to the topic. Sorry, a little off topic there for a moment, for a momento. So I'm doing all that, and I'm writing, and I'm carrying the notebook around, and I've got this willingness and this desperation. And I can't always say I had that. When I was in and out, I didn't have that. I was like, pfft, and they'd call it the slip step. If you didn't do your four step, that was the slip step. You're in the slip step. And thank God for this sponsor that said, you've got to get right to it right away, and get rid of all this stuff that's blocking you off from God. Because God is the only one. I call my higher power God. I don't have any fancy dancy name, but I just say God. And God is the only thing that's going to prevent me from taking that first drink. And that's my main concern every single day. Staying away from that first drink and having God in my life to prevent that, whether I'm walking towards it or walking away from that first drink, right? So how I've got to get all this stuff down on a piece of paper, because I use pen to paper, and I always tell my sponsees that we're not doing computer. I know we're all advanced now, but no. So there's some magic that happens with pen to paper. There's something that's like powerful. I believe it's the heart. We're speaking from our heart when we write with the pen. I know all you millenniums can say, what? We don't even know how to do cursive writing. Well, then I guess we have to learn. So, that's how I did it, right? So I did, I wrote all that down, and then came the big, the next move. And she made sure I was got it all down. I was like, yes, ma'am, got it all down. And so it was time for the fifth step. Now, the fifth step, if you're wondering, which I think crossed my mind, well, wait a minute, there's no sponsor in my big book. Maybe I don't need to go to a sponsor. Well, they didn't have sponsors when they wrote the big book. Oh, okay. So, and why would I go to some stranger and spill all this stuff out? I don't know what he's going to do with it. I'd rather go to my sponsor and tell her. So she knows my case a little bit too, and I trusted her, and I was building a relationship. And so when I read it to her, the part that was the hardest was the shame part, doing stuff that women should not be doing, I'd say, if you know what I mean. I thought, oh my God. And this is somebody that I didn't think, because by the time we're sober for a while, we look pretty conservative, don't we? We look like upstanding citizens, I mean, we even like, I even put on perfume before I speak in Zoom. So, I mean, we're not like when I walked in, I had a big knot in the back of my hair. I just kind of put my other curls over it, and I had cat hair, white cat hair, of course, all over me. And I'm wearing saggy jeans and just thinking I'm cooler than what. And I'm a mess. And now we look pretty conservative. And so I thought, how is this conservative sponsor going to take what I'm about to lay down? So I started reading this, and you know what she did, you guys? She yawned. I'm like, excuse me? Are you yawning through this? What? Then it gets even worse. She asked for a cup of coffee. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Am I putting you to sleep? Let me go make you some Sanka. So she wanted a cup of coffee. We're in my apartment doing this in Japan, And I'm thinking, oh my God. And so I read all this to her. And then she goes, well, now it says in the big book, we're not all done. I'm like, oh my God, there's more. Can't we move on to those quick six and seven ones? I know they're short. I looked ahead, I did a spoiler. She goes, no, you're gonna now sit down for an hour. And with your higher power that you already know, you're gonna make sure that there's no stone unturned. There's no nagging little, oh, I didn't really say that, did I? I kind of kept that out. You're gonna make sure that we've built a strong foundation. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, who sits for an hour? Then she goes, I'll see you at the meeting. And I'm like, oh, and I gotta see you after I read all this shit. Oh my God, and I'm thinking, this is too much. So I did what she said, because I don't know any better. And all I know is I don't want to drink and I want to be sober and happy and serene and all this. I want what you guys have. So I'm willing, I'm really, really willing. So I sit down. I remember it clearly. I was in this dark, apartment in Japan. On the food, where the futon, all that. Anyways, I sat there for an hour, and there was nothing. There's nothing I left unturned. Nothing. I gave it all to her, and I was pretty embarrassed about it, needless to say. Then I looked at my clock, and I realized it was time to go to the meeting. And I thought, oh God, now I got to go see her at the meeting. So I went to the meeting. And I remind you, this is small Japan AA, two meetings a week, the English group. There's, max seven people, maybe nine on a busy night, And I walk into that meeting and there's Katie, Jennifer, three other women in the meetings, right? And I walk in and I look at her and she waved and said hi. She waved and said hi. She was sitting down and she waved and said hi. And I had just told her everything, my deepest, darkest, horrible secrets, the things I was ashamed of, things I did that I didn't think anyone, I just felt dirty about, And she waved and said hi. And right there was the beginning of the walls coming down between me and you, of the walls coming down between me and women. The walls coming down of being different and I'm special. And don't you know my case is different? I can't get this. And I could exhale. I think that's when I started to feel a little bit of the presence of God in my life. I think that's when it happened. And I am so grateful. As sponsors, I think often, at least myself, I take it for granted. And I think, oh, well, that's a, gotcha, thank you. That's just what we do. We don't really think about it later. I've heard many, many fifth steps. I want to tell you something. With fifth steps, I never ever remember them. I don't know what it is. It's some sort of magical sprinkle dust that happens from God. I don't remember them. I'm always waiting to get the really juicy ones. And I get all the ones that are pretty much the same as mine. And it's kind of like, huh, yeah, me too. Huh. I don't know where all this big, murders or this horrible stuff. Body bags, and I don't get any of the juicy stuff. So I keep doing it, hoping one day, not really, I'm kidding. But and so when I hear a fifth step, it's like a tube. I like to think of myself between the person reading it and my higher power, God, And it is a certainly an honor to hear a fifth step. And it is a relief from my day. I recently heard a fifth step, and I got some relief. I didn't have to think about me. I just thought about someone else for a nice chunk of time, and it was really, really great, And so when I and I also think I just want to read, what they talk about in this fifth step on page, what my page is all 75 here. It says, we look at the, okay, it talks about doing the fifth step, blah, blah, blah. We withhold nothing. We are delighted when we take this